Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 23. Let's open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we acknowledge you and confess that this is all of you and by you and for you, for you to fulfill your purposes in us, your people. So we humbly stand before you and sit before you and confess our need of your Spirit to magnify your truth through your word. And minister to our hearts and change and transform us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 23 is the final chapter of this section in Isaiah. Isaiah chapters 13 through 23 are the chapters that contain the prophecies of the nations surrounding Judah. And in this last chapter of this section, it's the burden of Tyre. Tyre and Sidon, two cities of Phoenicia on the coastline. Actually, it is west of Jerusalem and Israel, right on the coast. And Tyre and Sidon are two cities that are mentioned often in the Scriptures. Sidon is the capital, or was the capital, of Phoenicia. Tyre was the leading commercial port in the eastern Mediterranean. All cargo ships came through Tyre. Sidon was the mother city, the capital. But Tyre was the head commercial port, again, for the eastern Mediterranean. The reason why judgment against Tyre is mentioned at this point is because at this point in history, Tyre itself had turned against Israel. And this was a comfort to Israel. It's for Israel's benefit that they learn God's ways, that even though a person or a group is not Jewish or Israel, that God still brings judgment. He still holds to the same standards, still holds to the same measurements. And so we have, to begin with, the caption at the beginning of verse 1, of Isaiah chapter 23, the burden of Tyre. Again, the word burden means something that is heavy. It's applied to things that are carried, heavy loads, but also to heavy messages, as it does here. The heaviness is what is weighed upon the prophet himself who's bringing the message. The burden of Tyre, this great commercial city of Phoenicia, and was the main city. Again, we have to understand this, the main city for commercialism on the eastern Mediterranean. In verse 1, the second part, through verse 7, we have the call for mourning. God calling for lamenting and weeping and mourning, not only for Sidon and for Tyre, but also for all the countries and all the people that have done business with Tyre. The first command we're given, howl you ships of Tarshish. The word howl means to shriek. And maybe you have seen newscasts at funerals where in the Middle East people are mourning the dead, and there's a high shrieking noise that they make as they mourn. They howl with this shriek. And you ships of Tarshish. Tarshish was a city of Spain, but the ships of Tarshish were these large, great, massive merchant ships, so big that they can make it through the Mediterranean for long distances. And it would pick up wheat from Egypt and deliver it to Tyre, and pick up cargo from Tyre and deliver it to Egypt. And so he is telling these ships of Tarshish to howl. The reason? Because it, that is Tyre, this commercial seaport, has been devastated. And devastated it was. It was completely destroyed. As the text tells us, without a house and without entering in. All the homes and businesses, all the buildings were leveled. And the port was so ruined you could not enter in. Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28 tells us about this devastation against Tyre in detail. Isaiah's prophecy covers the entire destruction of Tyre. They were attacked, first of all, by the Assyrians under Sargon II. They were then attacked by the Babylonians under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. And then lastly, they were totally wiped out by Greece at the hands of Alexander the Great. Now, it's interesting to understand about this city is because they felt vulnerable there on the sea coast of the Mediterranean. And there was a small island just within, if it were possible, walking distance from the mainland. And so what they did was they put their houses and their stores on the mainland, and they put the palaces and the fortresses and the government buildings out on this island. And so when Assyria would attack, they would attack the city part of it. They couldn't reach that little island off the coast. And then when Nebuchadnezzar attacked, leading the Babylonians, the same thing. They could only attack the city part, and the most important buildings on this island were could not be reached. But Alexander the Great, what he did is he devastated the homes and the stores on the mainland, took all of that material and threw it into the sea and made a walkway going right over to the island. And they were, Tyre was eventually just wiped out under these sieges. Because Tyre has been devastated without a house and without entering in, no harbors to unload their cargo anymore, the seaport is gone. Now it says, from the land of Chittim, it has been revealed to them. Chittim is the name of the island of Cyprus, which is right off of the coast. Not immediately, but it's the first island you reach off of the coast of the western shore of the Mediterranean there. And the cargo ships had come from Spain and were now in port in Cyprus, and they heard the news about what happened to Tyre. So from the land of Chittim, it has been revealed to them. Verse 2, Be silent. That's a command. You inhabitants of the island, you see, this is talking about, and some translations have changed it to read sea coast or coastland or coast, because it couldn't mean island, because Tyre is not an island. Well, half of it was. So it's what he's making reference to. Be silent, you inhabitants of the island, trading merchants of Sidon crossing over the sea, they have filled or replenished you. And so they're called and commanded to be silent. This busy seaport with ships coming and going, lots of commotion and lots of noise of business going on, but now it has fallen silent to business and traffic. Verse 3, and on many waters, the seed of Shihor, Shihor is Egypt, and the seed being the wheat or grain that comes from Egypt. On many waters, the seed of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile, was her revenue in Tyre. And you are the marketplace of the nations. So it's saying no shipments of harvest are going to come from Egypt any longer. Verse 4, the next command. Be ashamed, Sidon. This would be the mother city. This would be the capital of Phoenicia, representing the whole nation. The whole nation of Phoenicia should be ashamed. Because the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have not labored with birth pains, and have not given birth to children, and I have not brought up young men, and have not raised up virgins. What's that all about? No descendants. After Tyre was destroyed, there is no other seaport. There is no other place. There is no other backup for all the sea trade coming in to the eastern Mediterranean. Nothing to replace Tyre. Verse 5, as when the report comes to Egypt, they shall be in pains because of the report of Tyre. When Egypt hears about it, they're going to be like the sailors over in the island of Cyprus. They're going to be pained. Verse 6, the fourth and fifth commands, cross over to Tarshish, that would be Spain. Howl, the inhabitants of the island. So they're telling them to get out of there. Your city's destroyed. So get out of there and go to Tarshish. Is this your exaltation, whose antiquity is from the days of ancient times? So they're prideful rejoicing. They were exulting over the success of the business going on there in the port of Tyre. And their pride was in their antiquity, their longevity, their history of success. Her feet will carry her from a distance to dwell. That is the pride of their international influence, that they not only are in Tyre, but their connections are spread out all over the world. Verses 8 and 9, the counselor for Tyre. Seems to be a question as to who's counseling or who's planning this destruction of this major port. Who has counseled this upon Tyre? The crowning city. That is the city who honors people and crowns them. Catch this, because not only was Tyre judged because of their rejection of the God of Israel, but notice they are being judged because of their business success, which caused them to be proud in their business success. The crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose tradesmen are the honored of the earth. So who is giving this counsel upon the most successful seaport in the world? Verse 9, Yahweh of hosts has counseled it. Twofold purpose, to defile the pride of all beauty, not glory, but beauty. To defile the pride of all beauty. Not to defile beauty, but the pride of beauty. Secondly, and to bring contempt on all the ones being honored of the earth. Now, I read this and I realize what it's saying. And I realize the day in which we live. It is the pride of man that wants to be successful. It's the pride of man that wants to be known for something or to be somebody. Even to the point of pride of maybe owning your own car dealership. Remember Mr. Nobody? By me being Mr. Nobody, he made himself somebody. We, by our natural sin nature, reach for that which makes us reputable, to be somebody. And it is interesting that the Lord says that he will defile all pride of beauty. Want to be known for beautiful? Want to have people be attracted to you? Want to make a name for yourself? God looks upon this with judgment because it takes away from his glory. And what is the principle? I asked you last week. I'll ask you again the second hour, so this gives you a heads up. What is the primary principle about deception? You remember? Remember, you can only serve two masters. You can only serve God or the world, not both. But what's the deception in this that makes this one? Using the world, using the flesh for the glory of God. That's deception. There is no difference. I can justify anything that I do in this earthly life by dedicating it to the glory of God. Even to the point here in Tyre, even if they did give God acknowledgement, the acknowledgement would be, God has made me great. Let's celebrate my success, rather than celebrating him. And so judgment has come. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26, Matthew 16, 24 to 26, Jesus said, if any man come behind me, that is, follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and let him follow me. Deny me. Reject yourself. But you see, I can reject myself and just do it in self, for self, for the glory of God. Get up, just skirt out around that a little bit, you know. I don't have to reject myself. I don't have to deny myself. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so the people of Tyre and all of the merchants, they gave up their soul for success, for bounty, for money, for whatever. And this city was known to recognize successful people. And so they were judged. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, great chapter. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, that is being Jewish, if any other man thinks or presumes that he has of which he might trust, I the more. And he lists his pedigree. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that is, both parents are Hebrew. He's a Pharisee, and considering the law, he's blameless. I mean, you can't get better than that. But he says in verse 7, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Do you realize that anything in the world and of the world that is gain to me is loss for Christ? Verse 8, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as garbage, that I may win Christ. So he says, I've got two choices. Go for what's gained to me, or go for what is gain in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll find this every time that we have opportunity to gather together around the Word. The world, Satan through the world, is always going to be pulling what would be gain for me. And the opposite of that is loss. If I make decisions to follow Christ, I will lose from the elements of the world. If I deny myself, my human myself is going nowhere. And family and friends will say, well, you know, you could have made something of yourself. Well, age-wise, too late. Too late now. But Paul says, I count all things but loss. I mean, what if I have to live out of my car to stay in tune with God's word? That's the way it goes. I've done that too. Always choices. What is gain for me from the world and what is gain for me for Christ? If I go after the gain of the world, I lose something of Christ. If I make my decision for Christ, I lose something of the world. Yahweh of hosts has counseled it to defile the pride of all beauty. Because beauty itself, when it's under the motivation of pride, deflects from Christ and onto self. And secondly, to bring contempt on all the ones being honored of the earth. That's why I cringe at Christmas. I know it's coming up. But definitely what the birth of Christ and the story of the birth of Christ in Scripture tells us is that in no way did he want to come and be born and be glorified by the world. He would have been the first one to say, no parade, you know? No worldly celebration. Because whom the world honors, and that was his whole ministry here, was don't tell anybody who I am. Well, why did he tell some people? It's because he came for specific people. If people didn't believe in him, he wasn't looking for a following. He basically said, well, you're not being drawn by the Father. I'll see you. He wasn't interested in numbers. Verses 10 to 14, the commercial industry ruined. Cross over your land as the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is not a harbor any longer. Two interpretations of this. As it reads from the Hebrew that there is no more harbor, and this is an invitation to Tarshish to spread out and become the leading commercial merchants of the world. The Septuagint, though, that's the Greek translation of the Hebrew, basically says your trading days are over. Just settle down and farm your own land. Because there's no more harbor. There's no more commercial business there. God has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken kingdoms. Yahweh has given commandment toward merchants to destroy her strongholds. Why? Because the merchants worked hard at becoming successful. Not just earning a living, but to be successful, and God promised to destroy those fortresses or those strongholds. And he said, you shall not continue any longer to exalt yourself. That is the one being an oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Rise up, cross over to Kittim. So basically God's saying, get out of there. Go over to the island of Cyprus, and even there shall not be rest for you. You're going to find no place to live because of the judgment. So it wasn't just on a geographical area. It was on the pride of some people, and they took their pride with them wherever they went, and God said, you'll find no rest there either. Look, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the mentioning of Assyria destroying Babylon, as recorded in chapters 13 and 14. Tyre is going to look like that when it's judged. Look, the land of the Chaldeans, as the leading tribe of the Babylonians. This people have not existed. Assyria has laid the foundation of it for wild beasts. They have set up their siege towers. They have demolished its palaces. They have made her for ruins. Howl, you ships of Tarshish, because your stronghold, your fortress, has been leveled. No port. Verses 15 through 18, the change for Tyre. First of all, the moment of the change in verse 15, and it shall have been in that day that Tyre shall be being forgotten. 70 years as the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it shall be for Tyre as the song of the harlot. Now, the reason why the text is so difficult, sounds like it skips all over, is that it's actually written in Hebrew poetry. You know, 90% of the book of Isaiah is poetry. And so deciphering it, it tells us, first of all, that Tyre was promised restoration at a time after a change of heart. But in the meantime, their judgment was not only the destruction of the physical buildings and the physical city and the port itself, but also 70 years of non-existence. No trade, no business for 70 years. Now, it's interesting because the word 70 in the Bible is the maximum expression of completeness. For instance, it's 7 times 10. seven being complete times 10 is maximum completeness. The 70 elders who were with Israel in the wilderness. Psalm 90, verse 10, says that the average lifespan is 70 years. Jesus sent out his disciples, 70 of them, by twos. And in Matthew 18, verse 22, when Jesus was asked, how many times do I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus says, 70 times seven. 70, completeness, all the way. Times seven. So for 70 years, Tyre would not do business. Their city would be desolate. After studying the moment of the change, we study the music of the change in verse 16. He says, take a harp and go around the city. Two commands. You harlot, being forgotten. Do well to play a stringed instrument. Sing many songs so that you will be remembered. So after 70 years, she will be called upon to play the harp and to play the stringed instruments. The harp and the guitar were stringed instruments used by the harlot or those who were advertising their services. Here the music represents the joy of their restoration. There's no corruption here, even though the terminology would suggest it. Verse 17, the manner of the change. And it shall have been that after the end of 70 years, Yahweh will visit Tyre, and she will have returned to her wages. And she will have committed prostitution. With all the kingdoms of the earth upon the surface of the ground. Now, even though the language says prostitution, there's a key here because people try to soften this without really understanding the principles that the scripture describes for us. Tyre again is going to advertise and solicit the various nations of the world for their commercial trade once again. And conduct business with other nations, just like it used to do as a harlot. So the city played the role of the harlot, spiritually, with the world, in order to get its wealth and get its riches. And solicited and attracted the world through its advertisements. But one day, again, she's going to do business with the world, except this is kind of interesting because the Bible never calls it business with the world. The Bible calls it prostitution. I like that. I'm not going to change it. Because that's what it is. Verse 18. The merchandise of change. And it shall have been her profit and her wages shall be holy to Yahweh. Interesting. She's going to do business with the world like she used to do, only instead of using it for their own pride and their own wealth, they are now going to give it to Yahweh. See the change of heart? It wasn't the business part of it that God judged. It was the pride. It shall not be stored and it shall not be hoarded because her profit shall be for the ones dwelling before Yahweh to eat to satisfaction and for choice clothing. Shows a great change of heart. and with their profits and with their gains, they're going to support God's ministries. It is interesting from this text, there is no doubt that James got some of his teaching from, the basis or premise for it. Remember in James chapter 4, James says, what causes all the fightings amongst you? Isn't it because you want and you don't have? So ask in prayer. And even when you ask in prayer, you don't receive it because you're asking to spend it on your lusts. In James 4:4, he says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Spiritual adultery. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity or hostility with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. He goes on in chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, to talk about the person who says, we're going to go into such and such a city and buy and sell and make a profit. And James says, how do you know what God's will is for your life? But rather you should say, Lord willing, at least this is the plan, if it's the Lord's will. If not, it won't turn out this way because it'll be the Lord's will for it not to be this way. In verse 16 of James 4, James says, but now you're rejoicing in your boastings. All such boasting is evil. When he says evil, he means evil, poneros. Here's what the Bible presents for us. Every time I go out into the world, well, I guess I'm in the world right now, right? I am handling the spirit behind the world who is evil. In all of its allurements, even in all of its activities, even if I just had to go out and get in my car and go down to the store and come back, you know, pick up some things, I am still under the influence of the system of the world in some way. And no matter how pure my motives and no matter how pure my thought processes are, by me doing business with the world system is spiritual adultery. Period. And the only thing I can do is confess the influence of that of the world system on me. It's allurement to be somebody or take advantage. Hey, I got a tip for you, you know? You invest in this stock, by tomorrow it triples. Ooh. I forgot to tell you, triples minus. You'll lose three times what you paid in. All the business of the world, the spirit behind it is evil. Simple as that. The Bible warns us over and over again, handle the world with moderation. Be known for moderation. Only participate in the world for your necessities and your needs because you are still defiled even in that. And you have need to come and be cleansed and ministered to get focus back on and to receive the cleansing of the Lord through the hearing of His Word. It's the way it is. So they did business with the world. They played the harlot. Every time you advertise, it's harlotry, prostitution. Advertisement. But they took the gains instead of using it for their pride, the pride of their beauty, the pride of their dress, the pride of their business success, whatever gains or profits they received, they gave in support of Yahweh's people. That's a big change. That is a big change. And for that, God restored them and changed their heart. It took 70 years of having your city destroyed. This is how hard-hearted we are. To have your complete city destroyed and to go 70 years of obscurity and then have a changed heart. To the point where I can do this. I can do business and it not be for me. And realize that it is the bounty of Yahweh. And it is for Him. And I have been privileged to participate in bounty. And the more I gain from the world in bounty, the more defiled I become. So as a person, I've got to really watch out to keep my relationship with the Lord intact. And I also have to watch out that whatever gain, that's why it's in the scripture, it's called filthy lucre. Because that's what it is. It's filthy. Looks good, sounds good, feels good, but it's filthy. Get it away from me. At least that should be our attitude. Only what God wants me to have. I only want what God wants me to have. Because that'll be for my necessities. Any more than that, and you know, we're going to run with it. Oh, now we can expand. You know how many times I went through that as a businessman? Landscaping business was so good that we had to expand, grow larger, hire more people. Not hire more of God's people, but just hire more people to take care of the need to earn more money. If I had my glove, I'd catch it. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and this day. We thank You for Your word that reveals to us Your assessment and evaluation, Your perspective of life. To become friends with the world is to become and place ourselves as the enemy of God. To serve the world and the things of the world causes hostility against God. We cannot serve two masters. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that by the enlightenment of Your Spirit, You would help us to see these important truths and the fact that we have free interaction with one of the most open markets of the world to better ourselves or to make something of ourselves or whatever the case may be, it's there. The opportunity is there. But we pray that You would convict our hearts. Convict our hearts of our need to deny ourselves and to take up our cross daily and follow Christ, for it is only Christ who is somebody. He must increase and I must decrease so that others don't know me, but they know Him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.